If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Jeremiah 18 this morning, and it feels like sometimes in life we struggle with control. We struggle with the things that are going around, even in our nation. We struggle with our nation. We struggle with all the political things of the world. All the things in life that we struggle with, and we feel like some sense that we have a lot of control over it. There's a lot of people that stress out over what's going on in the nation, what's going on in the world, and these things really are much bigger than ourselves, and yet we let those things control us, and we find ourselves in an emotional state that is sometimes unhealthy. And we find ourselves also looking into our lives, wondering sometimes why things aren't going the way that we think that they should. We struggle with why things are happening, and we struggle with why they're happening in the way that they're happening. And we just struggle with all of that. And God's going to share something here with Jeremiah. God's people are pretty much in a mess, and this is before the big exile to Babylon and all that takeover and all of that, and God gives plenty of warnings of what's going to happen, what's happening, what's going to happen if they don't turn it around. He gives them fair warnings, gives them ways out, and yet they choose to do it their own way. And God laid it out what would happen. And here God is going to give us a little insight here with Jeremiah on how to understand some things that are happening and why things happen the way they do. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Jeremiah 18, then we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Right? Father, Lord, we just pray, Father, this morning that your Spirit will continue to be with us. We thank you, Lord, for the songs that we've had already, being able to worship through song. We pray, Father, for this time and space that we have right here, that we are gathered here in this moment. And I just pray, Father, Lord, that we be sensitive to your Spirit, sensitive to your Word, and have a hunger to learn and grow in your Word. We thank you again. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. God is going to do something with Jeremiah that's a little bit different. And so we see here in chapter 18, verse 1 and 2, it says this. This is the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Jeremiah is sharing what happened here. He said that the Lord said, go down at once to the potter's house. There I will reveal my words to you. He said, go down to the potter's house and there I will reveal my words to you. God is saying to you, Jeremiah, listen, I want you to go down to the potter's house. I don't want to just tell you something. You got to see it. You got to see it. I want you to see it so you can understand it. Sometimes God does these kind of things. Sometimes he does those things where it's not just about he's telling us something, but he wants us to see it. That's kind of how New Life got the ministries. Let's take a group down into Florida. Let's look at this. God wanted us to see it, and see it not just through my eyes, but see it through those six people, the other six people that went with us down to Florida to look at it and bring it back and share that, what they saw with the crowd when we were actually worshiping across the street. And so here, God is saying, now, Jeremiah, I want you to go down to the potter's house, and there's where I'm going to tell you something. But I want you not just to hear it, I want you to be able to see it. I got something I want to share with you. But I want you to see how it all makes sense. He goes in verse 3. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working away at the wheel. So he goes down to the potter's house and goes, and there he was. And God reveals something and tells you something. He's already got something set up. He's already got this plan set up. This whole key thing is for Jeremiah to learn something here. And so a potter is a person who takes this clay and turns around and they wet it and does it and it spins and they make bowls and vases and they make all kinds of beautiful things out of this lump of clay. And so he wants him to go down there and he wants him to check out this potter. He wants to show him something. But I want to share also that in this piece here, this verse here, it says, so I went down to the potter's house. This is what the Lord said. I want you to go down to the potter's house. What did Jeremiah do? He says, I went down to the potter's house. If you don't do the first thing God tells you to do, you may not see what God has for you. Let me tell you. If you don't do what God tells you to do in the first place, you may not see what He has planned for you. Now, that wasn't my words, because that wasn't even planned. If I was you and I would be, I'd be writing that down. That's not because I have great words. It's because the Lord has said, Lord, this message is going to be a little hard to preach. Not because it's hard. It's just sometimes some messages are a little harder. But when you become obedient to the Lord and you start to follow the Lord, you will see God move. This is taking Christians off of the couch from watching a football game into the football game. I don't want to be the Christian sitting on the couch and telling everybody how to do their thing. No, I want to be out in the game. So if I want to be in the game of life and I want to do it right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? He's going to call play. And the play was go down to the potter's house. And he go down to the potter's house. I'm going to go down to the potter's house. And if you do what God tells you to do, you will score. You will do some things that you never could do on your own. No matter how talented that you are. So he goes down to the potter's house, exactly where God told him to do. And he sees there he was. The potter is working. He is working the clay. And he says in verse 4, but the jar that he was making from the clay became flawed in the potter's hand. As it's spinning, it became flawed. So he made it into another jar as it seemed right for him to do. Well, so the potter is working on this piece of clay. And he's spinning it and he's turning it to say he wants to make a tall vase for flowers. Well, maybe up at the neck point, there's something in the clay. Oh, crushes it back down, starts all back over again. Something's in the clay. It is flawed. And so he's seeing this happen. Jeremiah has seen this happen. And he sees it happen and he's like, oh man. He sees it happen. And it was looking like it was great. It may have looked great to Jeremiah. It may not. He couldn't probably tell, but he knew that if something was wrong with it. Because the potter just crushed it down and started reworking it. And verse 5 says this, but the word of the Lord came to me. Now, he's seeing everything that's being done. He's doing exactly what God wanted to do. He's seeing it. Now the Lord wants to speak into it. The Lord's going to speak into what he saw. As he's seeing the potter spinning that, working that clay into something. And he saw it all come down and he starts to turn it again. And then God speaks into the moment there. And he says this, house of Israel, can I not treat you as this potter treats his clay? This is the Lord's declaration. That's what the Lord says. Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so you are in my hand, O house of Israel. So what he's saying, God wanted to see Jeremiah. He wanted Jeremiah to see this potter working at the wheel and then making this clay. And he turns around and what God is saying is, listen, I am the potter. God is saying, I am the potter and you are this clay. And I'm working something in your life. I'm working in the Israelites' life. I'm spinning it and it's flawed again and it's flawed. And he keeps working it into what he wants it to be. And so here, God is saying, I am the potter. Can I really tell you what it means? In the sense he's saying, God is saying, I am the potter and you are the clay. What are you saying? He says, I got my hands on you. And you don't like it. I got my hands on you and you don't like it because when I'm spinning around and it becomes flawed, you're fighting against me. And I'm going to tell you today, there's a lot of Christians out there, a lot of us out here are fighting what God has for us. We're fighting what God's plans are for us. We're struggling in what God's plans are for us. Some of us are like vases, but we want to be a bowl. Some of us are bowl, and we want to be something else. We want to be a sculpture. We want to do these things, and we fight, and God just says, no. And God continues. So we struggle with that. We struggle. Listen, when we struggle when God's hands are on us, we're going to struggle if we don't just relax and let God be God. When you fight against the potter, I'm telling you, you're gonna come right back down to the bottom, and he's gonna start reworking you again. Because he's gonna work that flaw out. He's gonna work those pieces out that need to get out, because you're not meant to be used until you get that stuff out. I'm not talking about perfection. God can deal with some imperfections. But when it's flawed, it means it's not usable. When God puts his hands on something, he can make it awesome. God puts his hands on some dirt, he can make it amazing. It is an amazing piece. I want to share something with you, and we'll come back. I want to share something with you. In the beginning, God says, you know, let us make man in our own image. And he took the dust to the ground, and he created man, did he not? He created man from the dust. He's saying that we are clay. Clay comes from the dirt. Okay? But here it is, man sinned, right? Here comes it down in Genesis chapter 3, after God is talking. He says, because you listened to your wife and you ate from the trees, talking to Adam, of which I command you, do not eat from it. This is what's happened. The ground is cursed, and some other things. But then in verse 19, he says, you will eat bread by the sweat of your brow until you return to the ground. Since you were taken from it, from the dust you came, the dust you shall return. Folks, why in this life that we think we're more than dust? Why we think we're more than dirt? The dirt is where we came from. God made us out of dirt. He breathed the living spirit into man, and the man became alive. He breathed the breath of life into him. He gave him a living spirit, and we become a human. We're human. We're walking around, and we think we're much more than that. We are dirt. That's what we are. And by God's grace and his mercies, we're more than that. And by his gift of salvation, we can have also a relationship with Christ, with God through Christ, and we can have that salvation and eternal life with him. Wow, what God does with dirt. And says you're going to be a person, and you come to Christ, and then you're in eternal life with the Father. From dirt to eternal life with the Father. That is, wow, what a potter we have, right? What a potter we have. And he's doing all kinds of things in this moment where we were born, and to the time we die, he's going to put his hands on you, and don't slap his hands back. He says, just like clay in the potter's hand, you are in my hand. He didn't say, if you want me to. He didn't say, can I have your permission? He didn't say, I got my hand only on you, but not on you. Us in the West, we have a problem. Can I tell you what it is? We don't like a boss. We want to be the boss. Everybody wants to be a boss. There's only one boss. He's in charge, and he knows what he's doing. He's been dealing with human beings ever since he created Adam and Eve. He knows how rebellious we are. He knows how much we sin. He just knows that how much we fight against him. But his mercy and grace and his love keeps pushing. And he's going to have his hands on us. And people say, why am I going through such a hard time? Quit trying to control everything. You can't control everything. We don't make very good decisions outside of the will of God. We really don't. And God says, I have my hands on you, house of Israel. And he moves on just a little bit more, and he says, at one moment I might announce concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will uproot, tear down, and destroy. This is what God says. I can tear down a nation if I want to, and I can lift one up if I want to. And it doesn't care who the president is. It doesn't care who all voted for it or what. These verses are saying that God is in control of nations. I can't believe how many people just said they hated the last president. I might have had my opinion on it. I had my opinion on it, but I was still praying for him. Amen. And when we sit there to a point where we are praying, we hate a president, we hate a leader, we can't stand a governor, your words and that hate doesn't do any movements. But I'm telling you, if you get your heart right with God, you let God put his hands on you, you'll begin to pray for that person. Let me tell you how it goes. You begin to pray for that person. Let me tell you how it goes. You'll start loving the man that you hated. You'll start loving that man that you hated, and you won't just be praying for him. You'll be praying for his family. And it's not going to be because, oh, I want my insurance. I want my benefits because I need this. I need that. I need that. I want this. I want this for him. And you can move that stuff aside and be what God wants. And you can start praying for a nation in the way that it's supposed to be prayed for. That I can pray for the ones that I don't like, the ones that I struggle with, the ones where my heart says, won't you hate them, but you're going to fight? No, because God's hand says, listen, and God puts his hands around you, and he wants you to be the vessel that he wants you to be. You're going to be praying for your enemies and your people that you don't like more than the people that you do love, because you know they're already with the Lord. You're going to start praying for people that don't know the Lord. But the Western church keeps slamming and slamming and slamming down all kinds of people if they don't fit in our pedigree, if they don't fit in my little pocket, my little line, the way I think the world should go. We're struggling in this country because we don't know how to be really the Christians that God wants us to be, because we still got our benefits and all the things that we want in front. And not putting God in the front. Oh Lord, I pray right now that the Lord would just show himself to one or two people today and say, and know what it feels like when God just puts his hand right on you. I want to tell you right now, if you're a believer, God has his hands on you, but sometimes we're so closed-minded we can't even feel it if God came up to us. Because we're so interested and we are so sidetracked in everything else in the world. Don't get caught up in the politics. Get caught up in the God things. Get caught up with God. Get caught up with his Bible. I had to put my phone away because I read too much. Or Carla might tell me you're getting too negative on politics. I got to put it away. Because that's what the world will do. Get you pulled down in there. I got to keep my mind focused upon the things of God. And this scripture gives me a little sense of relief knowing that God is in control. At one moment, God says, I might announce concerning a nation and a kingdom that I will uproot and tear it down and destroy it. However, he says this, if that nation about which I have made an announcement turns from its evil, I will relent concerning the disaster I had planned to do to it. God said, if that nation returns to me and repents, you know what? I might just take it all back and not do that disaster I had. But he says, at another time, I might announce concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build up and I will plant a new nation. Let me just tell you, this world does not operate around America. And we think it does. But if you go back in history, you'll see Rome had its 400 years of roaming. England had its moment at the top notch. China had its moment at the top notch. America might be having its moment at the top notch, but nobody stands at the top forever. God doesn't wake up and go, America, what do you want? He says, at one time I might announce that I might just make a new nation. And that's what he kind of did with America, didn't he? Out of nowhere, he planted one. He said, however, if it does what it is evil in my sight, America is not that old. It's a couple of hundred years old, and that's it. Listen, Rome's been around for a long, I mean, Italy's been around, we call it Italy, but Rome's been around for a long time. However, if it does, if it's a new creation, however, if it does what is evil in my sight by not listening to me, I will relent concerning the good I had said, and I would have, and I would do it. So now say to the men of Judah and to the residents of Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I'm about to bring harm to you and make plans against you. So God is saying, listen, Jeremiah, you're going to tell these guys, listen, I'm about ready to do some harm. I'm making plans against you. What? How dare God make plans against us? We are God's people. We're the line of Abraham. We are God's people. If you're God's people, we need to act like it. They stopped acting like God's people. They were more interested in being, oh, our father is Abraham. Our father is Abraham. Our father, we're in the line of Abraham. We're in the line of Abraham. And the Lord says this to Jeremiah, look, I'm about to bring harm to you and make plans against you. He's talking to Israel. Turn now. God says now, turn now each from your evil way and correct your ways and your deeds. He's saying, correct it. But then the Lord says this, but they will say it's hopeless. We will continue to follow our plans. No plan overshadows God's plan. But this is what they say. It's hopeless. We will continue to follow our plans, and each of us will continue to act according to the stubbornness. Each will act according to the stubbornness of his own heart, evil heart. God already sees that they're not going to turn. They are not going to turn. And we see what happens in the near future. They get caught up. They even try to fight this battle. And God just takes care of all of them. And many of them go into captivity for 70 years. Then you get the story of David, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Nebuchadnezzar, and all those guys. But it didn't have to happen. If they would have turned, and they would have followed in the ways of God. But they chose not to. And the stubbornness of their heart, their evil heart. And this is what we're talking about nations, but also comes back to us. People make up a nation. And this nation is supposed to be a nation that believes in God. In fact, it's on our money. In God we trust. Indiana even went so far as to put it in their license plates. In God we trust. That sounds like good signs. That's really good stuff. But if it's only on the paper and the money, and if it's only on the plate, and it's not here, then we just going through the motions. And I kind of think that's what's happening in a lot of the American church today. And I can say that because we got denominations that went way over to the left side. And when I say left side, I'm just saying lay over there in the morals. Let me tell you, when it comes down, because we're talking about nations, when it comes down to politics, politics don't have any right to tell us about how to live morally. That's the church's, that's this. This tells you how to live morally. You want to talk about taxes? That's the government. You want to talk about building roads? That's the government. You want to talk about other things like that? That's the government. When it talks about how to live your life, here it is. It's in the Bible. But we're letting the government overshadow. We saw that in COVID, trying to overshadow and close churches down and close worship down and all that. And so many buckled down and did it for months. I do believe that this is a great nation. I do believe that God has got his hand on us. I do believe God is doing things, good things in this nation. I do. But I also believe where the good is, I also believe darkness is trying to do its own work. And we see that through politicians. We see that through leaders. And we also see that through people who call themselves preachers, ministers, and reverends. Who can be an atheist and stand in the pulpit. That's not of God. That's someone that's trying to destroy the works of God. But this is what we know. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Amen? Amen. Darkness will continue to try to overshadow the things of God. The people of God that are trying to do God's work. The people that God has a hand on, they're allowing God to keep the hands on him and doing a work. Darkness will always try to shadow, but I'm telling you, darkness cannot overcome. The light of God is too bright. So when we come back to this peace, when it comes down, really, God is in control. God is in control. The question is he in control of your life? Is he in control of your family? Is he in control of this church? Is he in control of your finances? Is he in control of where you work at? Is he in control of the things that you do? Is he in control of your recreation time? All that. Let God be a part of all of it. God loves us to have enjoyment and enjoy life. God is a part of that as well. He says, but the jar that he was making from the clay became flawed in the potter's hand. So he made it into another jar as it seemed right for him to do. When you let God put his hands on you, I'm telling you, he will turn you into a different person. I'm just looking at people right now knowing it's like, yep, that's a different person. Yep, that Donnie's a different person. Yep, Carla's a different person. Yep, Phil's a different person. Yep. Because when you let God be God, God is amazing and he will do godly things in your life. And he will change you and he will mold you into an image, into a purpose that you can never do on your own. He said that, but it was a flawed piece, so he reworks it and creates you and makes you into what he wants. He says, here it is, the house of Israel. He says that he says this, just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. I don't think God could even get any closer than that. Are we going to let God be God in our life? Or are we going to let ourselves continue to be in control of our life? Letting God be in control is the best place to be. Does it seem scary at times? It can feel scary at times because you have to trust him. It's faith, trust, and obedience. Those things are always blessed. Always blessed. Always blessed. I want to challenge you to pray for our country and to pray for find those people that you struggle with in life and begin to pray for them. And why it's hard to pray for them is because they're not doing life like you. Or they're doing something that you don't like. I want to remind you, God sees all things. And God loves people more than you do. God is patient more than you and I. He has much more grace than you and I. And he wants people to be a part of his family, honestly, more than you and I. But if we can tap into the things of God and understand and try to put those characteristics in our own lives, we will find ourselves being a light in a community that is so bright that darkness will try to overshadow it. But you will fight the good fight. And you will finish the race and you will have an impact in the community, in your own family, more than you think that you could ever have. But first, you have to let God put his hands on you. If you have dreams and you have visions of doing things in life, I challenge you with this. Lay them before the Lord. If the Lord wants it to be, it'll be all right. It'll be great. But I will remind you, also put in there, Lord, whatever you want, that I want to be, that is what I want to become. Lord, I would like to have this, but whatever it is that you want, that's what I want. And you will be surprised what God does with it. You will be surprised what God does with your life. Without God putting his hands on you, and molding you, you will never really be a blessing to God. Because it's for his purposes that we are saved. God has a bigger plan for you than you have for yourself. God has a bigger plan than you have for yourself. Don't ever think that because you're a believer, I've done everything I needed to. Don't ever think that you're low. Don't ever think that you're not smart enough. Don't ever think that you're not gifted enough. Scripture tells us that God had made people smarter and more wiser. God is also, and Scripture tells us that God has given people talents and gifts to do things they could never do on their own. Don't think that you are not worthy of those things When you let God put his hands on you, God can do amazing things. I want to challenge you with one last thing. What is God making you into? What is God making you into? Or do you even care? God wants to put his hands on you. And he wants to mold you. And he has a purpose for you. If you really think about it for a minute, I could have the plans that I really think, I really have plans in my life and I really want to do X, Y, and Z. Do you think that really should be really, could you imagine God in heaven has a plan for you on this earth? Designed in heaven by God himself. The Holy Spirit and power of God's Spirit living inside you, tweaking and pushing you to do God's plan. And it's designed in heaven by God, and we say, oh, I got a better plan. Lord, check out my plan. How many of y'all have said, I've done enough of my plans? I've done enough of my plans, and my plans aren't working. I want to tell you, God has a plan, and it's a straight line plan, and it's a good plan. And you know, each down the path, this is what I've realized, when God puts you on the plan, he's got blessings right down that line. He's got, and there is some obstacles, there's some mountains, but here it is, when you're on God's plan, he's going to be with you the whole way. And those mountains, you know what those are? Those are just opportunities to pray and get a new testimony. And there's blessings on the way. But just like Jeremiah, he had to do the first thing. God says, go down to the potter's house. I got something I want to tell you. He had to go down to the potter's house. Then he got to see. God has a plan for each one of us. Our purpose is to know that plan. Sometimes they're little pieces at a time. It doesn't mean it gives you a long span. Some people it is. My question for you, closing, is this. When's the last time you felt God's hands on you? Life is not just getting through this. Your purpose is not just getting through life. It's actually living life to the fullest as a believer, more abundantly than those who are lost. That doesn't mean get to give, none of that. But there is blessings, a part of it. And so my challenge really is that you let God put his hands on you. Father, we do pray. I pray today that there would be those who would feel that God, that your hand is upon them. That we would be a willing people, a group of people that would allow you just to put your hands on us in a way, Lord, that we would know that it's you. Sometimes we can be a Christian for a while. And sometimes we just need not maybe a fresh anointing, but just a fresh touch by you. I believe that there are those here that would want it, that if they would want it, they would get it. If we would desire the things of God, we would receive the things of God. And I pray, Lord, that there would be a strong desire in this church for the things of God. That we would want to feel your hands upon us. That we would welcome it. And so I pray, Lord, this church body is yours. It always has been, but it is yours today as well. That your will might be done in a way that we would, you know, that those who know, that those who desire, Lord, would know that you have touched them today with your hand. That you're not finished with them yet. Some, you are doing a new work in their life. Others, you're continuing on with a work. And yet there are others, Lord, that are coming to the end, and you will Maybe even change what you are calling them to do. And does it really matter? You're in charge. You are God. You brought us from the dust. You're using us and you gave us life. What a gift. And we're allowed to live it out. And I believe, Lord, you give us free choice. And for those of us today, Lord, that desire the things of God, that desires the things from you, I pray, Lord, that you would visit us in a way that we know that you put your hands on us and we would know. We give you this moment in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Let's go ahead and stand.